Hello, and welcome to People of the Pod, brought to you by American Jewish Committee. Each week, we take you beyond the headlines to help you understand what they all mean for America, Israel, and the Jewish people. I'm your host, Manya Brashear Pashman. Nearly 7 months since the Hamas-led massacre on Israel that ignited Israel's current war with Hamas, chaos has unfolded on the campuses of Columbia University, Barnard College, and other universities across the nation. Most recently, student demonstrators have built tent encampments on university quads and occupied academic buildings. They also have targeted Jewish students with anti-Semitic signs, slogans, and in some cases, physical assaults to protest the war. But that's not all they're protesting. With us to discuss her perspective as a Jewish student leader on campus is Barnard College senior Noah Fay. Noah, welcome to People of the Pod.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us, and I'm sorry that you've been experiencing this on campus in recent weeks. We've seen plenty of images from the chaos there, but can you describe it from your vantage point, kind of walking through the crowds and seeing it up close? What do you see? What do you hear?
It's important to understand not only the amount of anti-Semitism and that sort of violence that we're seeing, which has been incredibly painful, really, for every Jewish student at this point, I really believe. I mean, it's just been absolutely horrifying, you know? I mean, it's pogrom-style stuff that we're seeing. It has felt like now that everybody is affected, people are taking this seriously. But in reality, the Jewish students, we've been dealing with this literally since October 7th, and it's taken up until now to even seem to get somebody's attention. So I think it's important to understand that when I talk about this chaos, what I'm really thinking of is there is, first of all, just so much press everywhere, which is just a bunch of people that are really swarming everyone and, you know, up and down Broadway. It's very disorienting. But more importantly, on top of that, we have a very significant police presence. I mean, it really is a police state. And I can't even get to certain dining halls. I can't study in certain libraries. I can't get to my own gym. I mean, it's a really, really chaotic situation.
Are they protesting the war? Or is that the message that you're hearing? Or are they protesting something else?
No. They sprinkle in a few things, I think, dedicated to the war. But by and large, these are anti-Israel demonstrations. And at this point, anti-Jewish demonstrations, okay? So they are using the war to, I think, gain credibility. And the war is definitely fueling their ire, I guess you could say. But this is not about the war. And it's never been about the war. There was a very strong anti-Israel community on campus. And that was way before October 7th. This was during ceasefires that were already taking place between Hamas and Israel. And still, we had this exact same rhetoric. The only difference now is that it's gained a lot of traction. So no, it's not about the war at all.
I was going to ask you, you headed to Barnard 3 years ago. You're a senior now. Did you get warnings? Did people prepare you for Jewish life on campus? And was it helpful advice?
Yeah, so people did advise me. I did have people tell me not to go anywhere near there, but I just didn't think that it was that serious. And honestly, I did take this anti-Israel movement seriously, obviously. I mean, I had dealt with it in high school, and I had come to learn that this was somewhat of a popular ideology within my generation. And so I was aware of this, but I basically wasn't daunted. I was honestly happy to debate these students, to basically point out why they're wrong. So I wasn't nervous about it at all. Of course, we could never have predicted that this would be the situation. But that's just to say I did have somewhat of an idea, but I didn't take it seriously. And clearly, you know, I'm not the only one. None of us took it seriously. And here we are.
You mentioned before we started recording that before you started at Barnard, your parents similarly did not think that anti-Semitism was going to be an issue for you on campus. What are you hearing from your family now? How has this environment affected you personally?
My family, they've been very concerned. They've been talking to me about transferring because I'm in a plus one program with our School of International and Public Affairs. So I'll be here for one more year finishing up my master's degree. And my parents have a few times now really asked me about transferring and stuff, which I will say, I don't really have an urge to do that at all. But so they are very concerned. But more than that, I have family in Israel, and my family in Israel, they are the ones who are asking me if I'm physically okay, which is just, and I'm, again, not the only one who's been having that very bizarre, sad experience. My friends have the same issues. Their family in Israel, their family is calling them to say, are you as a Jewish student doing okay at Columbia University in the city of New York? So it's just, everybody is very concerned, and rightfully so. It is just, honestly, the more we all talk about it, the fewer words I have to really describe, because it is just such an experience that it leaves you speechless. It really does, because it is that disturbing.
You are Black, Native American, Jewish. How does your identity inform your perspective on the messages that you're hearing, such as Jews are not indigenous to the land of Israel?
Right. Oh my gosh, please. That's one of the worst ones. I'm just absolutely mind boggled by that. I will say that I think that combination of identities for me, it gives me a bunch of different perspectives with which to use to understand a lot of political issues and social political issues. But I think for me, the number one, I guess, benefit that all of these identities gives me in terms of analyzing anti-Semitism and just taking in everything that's going on right now is that, and I've been trying to stress this to people, but I think definitely the students who are demonstrating against Israel, they either ignore me or they don't take me seriously or whatever. But I am trying to stress that if only they would take me seriously, because I am a person of color from a few groups, which means I know what it is like to be discriminated against. So please, because of that, if you can't hear me when I say I'm Jewish, so I know what it's like to be discriminated against, please hear me when I say I am Black and I am Native American and I am a woman. Of course, I know what it feels like to be discriminated against. So please trust me when I say I am Jewish and I am now facing discrimination because I'm Jewish.
I mean, are there people in these crowds, perhaps including your friends, that are holding multiple perspectives? In other words, they want the hostages released, they're sad about the devastation in Gaza and what's happening to the civilians there. In other words, they're not calling for a ceasefire or calling for death to the Jews, they're just holding all of this and spending the night in tents with their friends. Does that exist?
So I have been told that it does. And in fact, a friend of mine who has also been struggling with the same issue where her very close friends are participating in this and she's trying to understand it, she has told me, and so have other people, that the issue is that people identify different parts of this movement to be significant to them, which is to say, apparently, this is the argument that's going around, is that the movement means something different to everybody, let's say. That's what I'm being told. And I can understand that. My response, though, is that I don't know that I need to know what it means to you, because no matter what it means to you, you are putting aside the fact that this is a violently anti-Semitic movement simply because, I don't know, you want to protest police presence, which is necessary to begin with. So it's kind of it's a difficult argument for me to follow. You have forsaken all of these basic human rights issues for something else that you have identified as more important. So that's why, even if these students do have different explanations, which I know they do, it's ultimately, you can't get around the problem. That is, they're saying they don't care that it's anti-Semitic. That's what the message is.
I'd like to take this back to the classroom, which is why you're getting an education at Barnard to begin with. I mean, have you gotten support from the faculty, from the staff, from the administration, or have faculty members, have any of them accused you of exaggerating the anti-Semitism that you're experiencing?
So I have mostly not really opted to rely on faculty because I know that it's a bit of a gamble, shall we say. I've had one unfortunate experience with a professor. This is a course about slavery, American slavery. It was an amazing course up until this anti-Israel rhetoric made its way in here. But in this class, this professor has consistently communicated his anti-Israel sentiments, and he's also done so by bringing in guest lecturers who have very outwardly demonstrated their anti-Israel nature. One guest lecturer came in and denied the rape of Israeli women on October 7th. I was shaking in my seat, just because, like, I mean, what do you say to something like that? I mean, it was just horrific. And then another example is that another guest lecturer who came in celebrated Aaron Bushnell, the man who set himself on fire over all of this in front of the embassy, I believe it was. And she said he was a true patriot. That's a direct quote. And then obviously throughout all of this, everything that's sprinkled in is, Israel is a genocidal state. It's colonialist, settler, imperialist, oppressive, all of these things. These are all the exact words that were used. And this is being told to a group of, as we know, very impressionable students. And obviously all of that is just problematic in itself, but we can also identify it being problematic because at the very least, we don't have an Israeli coming in saying the Jewish side of the story and the Israeli side of the story. So it's just a baseline poorly done in terms of attempting to, quote, educate students about this issue. And because we have that lack of representation of perspectives, we know it's indoctrination. It's indoctrination. Honestly, my whole experience with all of this anti-Semitism stuff, including what I just described with this professor, my experience has been mild compared to people who, I mean, I've heard about really, really horrific things.
Where are these protesters going awry? What's the solution here that would allow them to have adequate free speech, but not cross the line into harassment?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked about this because I am done with this freedom of speech debate. We know this is not an issue of freedom of speech, and we know that because we have students here who would be expelled in a second if they are not Black and say the N-word, or if they celebrate the KKK or anything like that. In fact, pulling from my high school experience, which was a private institution just like Columbia, and because of that, they were able to rightfully dismiss a student who called his Black peer the N-word and told him to go back to the cotton fields. For some reason, we've forgotten about this, that no one is entitled to an Ivy League degree. In fact, that's the entire point, is that it's the most exclusive, elitist, selective thing ever. So if the Ivy League had previously selected you out of literally thousands of applicants, and you come here and then you show that you are not worthy of that selection in whatever way, the university reserves the right to say, oh, you are not one of us and you don't abide by our rules. These are our rules. This is our society that we get to dictate. And if you're not fitting into it in the way that you said you would, implicitly or explicitly via your application, then the university absolutely has the right to tell them you're not allowed here. And actually, we're going to select from the thousands of applicants who would give anything to be in your position. That is the ultimate element of remember to check your privilege.
I will say an Ivy League education is very expensive. I'm still paying for my graduate education at Columbia. And that brings me to this question. Are you learning anything? Are you getting anything for your tuition this year? Or is this experience infringing on that?
That's a great question. My friends and I literally just asked ourselves that the other day. And I responded by saying, well, I've definitely learned that I'm surrounded by anti-Semites. So that's number one, which is, you know, for better or for worse, it's definitely good to know. But I mean, really, my answer is that I personally have learned so much at this institution. This, first of all, helps me realize why I feel so strongly about everything that I feel strongly about, which means that it is forcing me to think more deeply about my own values and why I have these values. And number two is that it definitely has strengthened my debate skills and just my ability to engage with people who are not only sitting across the table from me in terms of, you know, arguments and ideology and stuff, but with people who are quite literally against my very existence. So I think that's a good way to look at it. But I think that as of right now, most of us being the Jewish community at Columbia, most of us are not at that point yet, because this is all happening right now. This is a very, very raw thing. And so I think it will be quite a while until we can all identify the potential positives from all of this. And I don't think we should have to identify the positives. This is a very negative and upsetting situation. But I think that it can be helpful to acknowledge at least the different ways in which this makes us stronger.
Well, Noah, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us, sharing your experience. I really hope things calm down for you there and that you're able to walk across campus at ease again very soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening. This episode is brought to you by AJC. Our producer is Atara Lakritz. Our sound engineer is TK Broderick. You can subscribe to People of the Pod on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, or learn more at ajc.org/peopleofthepod. The views and opinions of our guests don't necessarily reflect the positions of AJC. We'd love to hear your views and opinions or your questions. You can reach us at peopleofthepod@ajc.org. If you've enjoyed this episode, please be sure to tell your friends, tag us on social media with #PeopleOfThePod, and hop on to Apple Podcasts to rate us and write a review to help more listeners find us. Tune in next week for another episode of People of the Pod.